Lord, how we thank thee that as we turn to thee concerning thy word, we believe that thou art able by thy spirit to lead us into more truth. There's always yet more truth and light to break forth from thy word. And Lord, we pray together this morning that thou wilt, Lord, come to us in this matter. Lord, deliver it from being just a sermon or just a time where, Lord, we hear something from thy word, full stop. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt, in thy mercy and grace, get something into our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, that sometimes we are so dull of hearing. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, that sometimes we don't attend to thy voice, don't hear thy voice. Lord, it seems incredible, really, that there are doors which are open, at least not locked, and we think they're locked. Fancy, Lord. Oh, we pray that somehow thou wouldst get into us the reality of things. Lord, deliver us from all that I'm expecting to be carried. Help us in faith to move forward and to possess what is ours in thee, and to obey thy word, and to be those who are not only hearers but doers of thy word. O Father, we commit ourselves to thee. We remember those in our company here who are in trouble of one kind or another. We remember everyone. Wilt thou meet them, Lord, we pray, each one. And, Lord, recover and restore and just give that wonderful knowledge, sense of thy presence. We ask it all now together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You will turn to the second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. The second letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 18. Closing words of this letter of the Apostle Peter, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What I've got to say this morning is somewhat unusual, but I'm not apologizing for it. I'm just saying it's unusual. We have had a number of diseases in the garden recently, and I have had quite a lot to do with these diseases in the garden. And we've had to ask one or two who have got more expert advice and knowledge to also tell us something. And as you know, we've had a special time of prayer, and we have stood upon the promise of God that he will touch these somewhat serious, well, one in particular is a really serious disease for which there is, in fact, no known cure. The Lord's always been teaching us through practical things. Do you find that? Some people have got eyes that are closed to the Lord's instruction when it comes to practical things in the kitchen, in the home, in the office, in our relationships. But in fact, the Lord uses everything in our life, every sphere of our life, as a school. We are in the school of Christ, and we are being educated. Now, the more I thought about these diseases in the garden, the more I became uncomfortable, because I felt that the Lord was really, in some ways, pointing out one or two very real lessons. Now, as you know, I am not a botanist. I am not a biologist. I am a gardener. I will say that. I haven't got any letters after my name, but I am a gardener. I can only now, much to certain folks' horror, take some of these diseases and go to what I believe is its spiritual counterpart. Its spiritual counterpart. Now, if you turn to 1 Kings and chapter 8 and verse 37 to 40, we read these wonderful words. They were, of course, prophetic. They were the words of King Solomon at the dedication of the temple, and in fact, they were prophetic. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew, locust or caterpillar, if their enemy besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, who shall know the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hands toward his this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers. Now, the phrase which I just want to underline here in this wonderful promise, really, prayer, is in verse 38. Who shall know every man the plague of his own heart? Not only the plague that has come to his land or to his house or to his country, but when he calls to God, it will not be in a self-righteous manner, but he will know the plague of his own heart. I sometimes wonder whether this goes to the root of the refusal of the Lord to answer some of our prayers. The prayers are right, the promise is right, but I don't always think we know the plague of our own heart. There's really more about this that I want to speak. Just this morning. There are a number of diseases, and I will take the most serious of all to begin with, lest we have no further time. And the most serious disease is this disease called root rot. I hardly need to go further. Root rot. When the ground is diseased, when this fungus, this infection, attacks the roots of trees. Once the ground is diseased, according to the pamphlet we were given, you shouldn't plant other trees in that same ground for 20 years. And there is no plant, bush, or tree which is immune from this terrible infection. The first sign normally you see of it is that certain leaves die, sort of branches begin to die back. You think, perhaps like we did, that it was drought. We've had not much rain in the past year. And we thought last year when we saw some of the branches dying back, I asked one of the brothers, cut out those dead branches. We didn't realize that it was much more serious than just drought affecting the tree. We thought that it was just the branches. Here a little branch, there a branch. They weren't main branches. They were just sort of small branches. And to us, it didn't appear to be serious. It was only when it was identified as something that had begun with the roots long before it was seen outwardly and above the ground. Now, you know, there is such a thing as spiritual root rot. Many believers suffer from this terrible disease. It nearly always affects those who are older in the Lord, not younger. So now I'm speaking to those who've been perhaps 5 years in Christ. The tree has grown. They've borne fruit. They've served the Lord. They have some measure of understanding. Outwardly, everything appears wonderful. Oh, now and again, you see a little bit of die back. They appear to be getting perhaps a little bit stale in this way or that way. Perhaps you notice they're not quite so keen. They haven't got the keen edge in prayer that they had before. They're not so sensitive to the anointing. You begin to notice one. But then we are all prone to that. We don't take too much note of that. You see, well, they'll come through. They'll come through. But unbeknown, in the hidden place, in their hidden life with God, a terrible infection has come to their roots. Now, the Bible says a lot about roots. If you turn to Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose trust the Lord is. Or he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out his roots by the river and shall not fear when heat cometh, but its leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The wonderful picture of a strong, healthy, fruitful tree. Its roots have gone right down and right into the river. But will you notice the next verse, which is very rarely ever connected with this? The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it? That is the beginning of root rot. It doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord, this disease can affect any single one of us. Sometimes it can come right at the end of a life that's been lived for God. In the last few years of that earthly life, a rot comes into the roots. If you turn to the New Testament, to Colossians chapter 2, and verse 6, listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. Colossians 2, verse 6. As therefore ye received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded up in him. Now this again is interesting because it appears that the only way you and I can have clean, healthy, sound roots is to walk with the Lord. It's a sort of mixing of figures, but never mind. You've got to walk with the Lord all the time. And that's the only way this heart, which is exceedingly deceitful and corrupt, we can be delivered from it. We can know a new heart. If you turn to Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 17, that Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and so on. There's a tremendous amount in the Word of God about roots. Good, strong, healthy roots. Now, the whole matter of roots is something which you don't see with the eye. You don't normally see the roots of a tree. And if you do happen to see a root, it's only very little of what really is hidden under the ground. We are therefore dealing with something, dear child of God, dear servant of the Lord, which is your hidden life with God. Oh, the vital importance of strong, healthy roots. And don't think that because in your early years of life with Christ, you really got some issue settled, and because you got a good foundation, you can then just cruise for the rest of your life. We have a terrible enemy, and he attacks the roots. Our life with Christ. There is another interesting little verse in Hebrews 12.
and verse 15. Looking carefully, lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Root of bitterness. Many a company has been destroyed by a root of bitterness. The enemy always attacks roots. It's there that he starts to get a hold on a person's life. I wonder whether this morning I am speaking to someone, and you see here, we can't, this is the wonderful thing, only you know whether it's true of you that there's root rot, spiritual root rot in your life. Outwardly, everything may appear good. There may have been a bit of dieback here and there. You may not be as keen outwardly as you used to be. But you only know in your heart whether something terrible has infected your roots, your hidden life with Christ. Now, thank God, spiritually, there is an answer. At present, to this terrible disease, there is no answer. But spiritually there is, but it's a drastic answer. It's a drastic answer. Where there's been a root rot, we've got to allow the light of God to shine right into the heart. And we've got to be absolutely honest. And this is the problem, because it's nearly always older Christians. And we all have this terrible fear of loss of faith. Faith. Before each other. When we're older in the Lord, especially if we've been in the service of the Lord, we can't bear the thought that somehow or other others might know just what's happened. But that is the only way through, is to be absolutely honest, first with the Lord and then with the church. The light of God has got to shine into that rottenness, as it were, and it's got to be, as it were, dealt with. Thank God there is an answer to root rot. Now, there is another name for root rot, which is also, I feel, has a very great lesson. It is called honey fungus. Now, it appears to me that there's an awful lot of spiritual honey fungus at present amongst the people of God. And what is honey fungus? Honey fungus is the idea that as long as you're sort of full of a kind of sentimental, naive love, everything's all right. Don't call a spade, because that's not love. Don't be absolutely clear-cut before God. Because that's not love. Now, this isn't love. This isn't love. It's honey fungus. It's only another name for root rot. Have you noticed that this is attacking all kinds of historic denominations? Their roots have completely rotted away. All that God did there, the real things he showed them, those are the things they're giving up and hanging on to, just things that don't matter in many ways. Root rot. Now, you know as well, I hope, but I say this for the sake of visitors with us, that we believe in spiritual ecumenism. We believe that the people of God are absolutely one. There's no difference in our estimation between a real believer, born-again believer, whatever his label he attaches. We would prefer him to let go of his labels altogether and let's all be together. But we don't believe in honey fungus. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15? Speaking truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly framed and knit together. Speaking truth in love. You remember the Amplified puts it beautifully. Speaking truly. dealing truly, living truly, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, in love. Now that's not honey fungus. That is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That is the love of God which increaseth yet more and more. That is perfect love which casts out fear, the thing that has torment. But this honey fungus is a dreadful thing. Sloppy, sloshy, woolly, spineless. Or it's a real fungus. I have to be careful what I say because of the expert. But, you know, I mean on the question of fungus. But, I mean, to me, fungus always looks such a squashy, squelchy thing. And, I know it's supposed to have beautiful shapes and all the rest of it, but to me it's a squashy, honey fungus. Have you got honey fungus? We could say a lot more about honey. It was one of the things, of course, that had to be added in on certain things and was forbidden in other things under the Old Covenant. And we haven't the time to go into it. But some people, they've got all the honey in their lips and none of it in their heart. That's not the love of God. The love of God we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, who deliberately made a whip of cords and drove out from the temple all those who had prostituted it and devalued it. That is the love of God in action. The love of God in action we see in the Lord Jesus when they brought a woman taken in the act of adultery. And he would not speak a word until one by one, beginning with the eldest to the youngest, they went out. And finally he said, "Where are thine accusers, woman?" She said, "There are none." He said, "Nor do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That's not honey fungus. The kind of love that met a woman with seven demons, seven unclean spirits in her. He didn't condone them. He threw them out. And she became one of the greatest saints in the early church. That's not honey fungus. But when Ananias and Sapphira fell dead because they had lied to the Spirit of God, that was the love of God in action. I believe that Ananias and Sapphira you will find in the kingdom of God. God took their physical life in order that their spirit may be saved unto the day of Jesus Christ. I've seen him do it, even in our own day and generation. Honey fungus. Has anyone got honey fungus here? It's the same answer. It's the same thing as root rot. Only God can deliver you from that and touch it. But wake up. This thing will take you over and destroy you. And before long, everyone will be aware of what's happened. For there will not be a leaf, let alone fruit. There will not even be life in the tree. Sit up. Wake up. If you've got this disease. Then there's another disease called black spot. Many believers have spiritual black spot. It's a terrible virus. It appears especially on roses, little black spots all over. The leaves fall off. The plant doesn't immediately die. It can stagger on for 2 or 3 years or more until finally it is weakened and weakened and weakened until it dies. Because it breathes through its leaves, and this is a disease which attacks its intake. It attacks, as it were, its ability to breathe in, to take in oxygen. Now, again, I must be awfully careful because I'm no expert on this thing. But it seems to me that there are a number of things about spots in the scripture. There's Ephesians 5 and verse 27 that it says that he might present the church to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Spot or wrinkle, that's another word, of course, but never mind. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for these things, give diligence that ye may be found in peace without spot and blameless in his sight. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14. That thou keep the commandment without spot, without reproach, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in Jude, verse 23, hating even the garment spotted with the flesh. Black spot. Many believers have blind spots. How it's come out in our practical training course, hasn't it? We all have these blind spots. You know, we hear something, we say, oh, I do hope so-and-so's taken note of that, and we're not aware that we ourselves do it. Until someone says, do you know that you do so-and-so-and-so? And you say, really? And then because we find it so hard to take in that we do it, it takes us a long time to correct it. If we really believed it at the time, really believed it, it would be a much easier correction. Much quicker. But very rarely do we really believe it. It has to sink in little by little that we do whatever it is. Blind spot. You know, these things finally kill. There are people, for instance, who are not the least bit bothered about punctuality or anything like that because they don't consider it an important thing. Their attitude is, well, I'm here, and you don't know what it's cost me to get here. Now, we're not talking about once in a blue moon, but we're talking about the kind of thing that happens again and again and again and again. It's a blind spot. It's a black spot. And you can be sure that in the end, unless the Lord enables you to discipline yourself, it will kill you. But you don't think that. Now, it's the fool that doesn't wake up to these things. Because we think that these are small little things, like we used to. You see, we bought in 6 rose bushes, planted them there in the garden, and the garden hadn't got a black spot in the whole garden. And then appeared in July, black spot all over these 6 bushes. Now, we should have rooted out all 6 and destroyed them. But when they came to me, of course, I was thinking of the money. I mean, I know, it's silly, really, because they were so little, you see. There's only a few shillings a bush. It seems so silly. But I, now I look back. But at the time I thought, oh, 6 bushes at about 3 shillings, 4 shillings each. No, of course, we can't do that. No, anyway, I looked at the leaves and I thought, surely you can do something about it. We'll spray it with this, we'll do it with that. Well, of course, from those 6 bushes, it spread through the whole. And now we spray and we spray and we spray and we spray. But if those original bushes are dying, if only we had been drastic at the point with something which did not appear to be serious, we would have saved ourselves all the problem. Oh, child of God, now I'm speaking to those of you who are young in the Lord as well as old. If there's some small blind spot, take action. In a few years, it could have killed you. The thing you think doesn't matter, is not essential, is not fundamental. This little thing which God, you know God is speaking to you about, take action. Or in 5 years' time, you will be not here to even hear the word of God. You will have fallen away, blind spots. How can we counteract such a thing? James 1, James chapter 1, verse 21, 22, rather extraordinary verse. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding yourselves. You can hear the word of God and be deceived. Let the word of God do something in you. Let it correct you in every way. Let it mold you. Let it discipline you. Obey the word of God. Well, I must move on swiftly. There is another disease called wilt. Wilt. Not wilt thou, but wilt. Spiritual wilt. It's a disease which attacks a plant from the root, and the lower leaves die off, and then the whole thing. Now, there are many scriptures I can think of in connection with this. I just give you one or two. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Many believers are subject to this disease of wilt. Just at the point where something could happen, they wilt. Or again, I think of Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 35. Cast not away therefore your boldness or confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that having done the will of God, ye may receive the promise. Or Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him that endured such gainsaying of sinners against himself, that ye wax not weary, fainting in your soul. Or again, verse 5, ye have forgotten the exhortation which reasoneth with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art reproved of him. Many believers suffer from wilt. They seem to grow so beautifully, and then all of a sudden something happens, the lower leaves die, and then the whole thing collapses. They're wilted. What's the problem? The problem is faith. So often it's that we cannot believe or trust the Lord with our problems or with our life or with our circumstances. Many people faint because they just somehow feel, what's the point? What's the point? Everything's against me. Everything's gone wrong. What's the point? It's unbelief. Have you got this disease? May the spirit of faith come upon you, renew you in faith to believe that if you give your life to God, he will do the best thing for you. Or then there's another disease, which I will only touch upon, called mildew. Spiritual mildew. It's a white mold on the surface of the leaves caused by fungus, and it's due to airless conditions or overcrowding. Now, this is a disease, I think, spiritual mildew. It's a disease which comes to believers when they're settled and used to things. How many of believers here are mildewed? In other words, you've got used to things. You've got a routine. You go Tuesday, you go Thursday, you go Sunday. Or you go just Tuesday and Sunday morning. It's a routine. The swing of a pendulum. You've got used to it, it's part of your life, it's part of your way, and without realizing it, you're in a rut, and you've got mildew. All the little sort of hairy white stuff slowly growing, you've got that lovely white look about you. It's due, I'm afraid, to some airlessness. Now, again, I'm not an expert, but I'm only saying what they've told us again and again, that the garden's a walled garden, and therefore we're prone to it. And they said if only you had a bit more wind blowing through the garden, you probably wouldn't get it. Now, that may or may not be right, but one thing I'm certain, spiritually it's true. Let the Spirit of God breathe upon us, and all mildew vanishes, spiritual mildew. It's from lack of movement. Wake up. It's from lack of movement, spiritual movement. I don't mean some people are rushing around, still got mildew spiritually. It's from lack of spiritual movement. If you would only exercise yourself, what about that gift that's in you? Stir it up. You won't get mildew. It's probably got mildewed. It's been so long settled that it's all covered with a white film. Stir it up. Exercise yourself. Let those spiritual senses, hearing, tasting, seeing, feeling, all those spiritual senses, let them be exercised by use to distinguish between good and bad. Learn to let the anointing teach you all things. What is right? what is wrong, what is of God and what is not of God, even in our contributions. Abide under the anointing. Don't let the mildew come upon you. Mildew is in one sense not so serious. I remember old Dan Archer always saying to us, oh, don't bother, that doesn't look much, but it's all right. But he said, of course, after so many years, it'll kill the thing. And this is, it's not such a serious thing, but I mean, think of all the believers who sit on their, well, you know, on their seats, meeting after meeting after meeting all over the country. They don't actually fade out. They don't die. They go right through to the end, but it's a mildewed condition. I fear that they go into heaven, and only there does it get blown off them as they go through the gates. Oh, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. Jesus breathed upon them. Oh, that's what we need, the wind of God. The wind of God blowing through us. And lastly, one last disease which I leave with you, rust. Spiritual rust. It's a disease or fungus which attacks leaves and stems of plants, suffering drought or undernourishment. There's another spiritual disease, a spiritual rust. Many believers suffer from this. They're undernourished spiritually. No time for the Word of God. No time for meditation on the Word of God. No time for drinking. Drinking, daily drinking, daily eating. They're undernourished. Now, if you, some of you, as you go out the back gate, you go past a whole line of the most magnificent hollyhocks. They must be about 12 feet tall, high, marvelous things. And you will see all their leaves are an unsightly mass. If you turn them over, you will see underneath it looks like barnacles, covered with little spores, hard little things, rust. They're not getting the nourishment, evidently, they should get. And it's very dry there because they're right near to a brick wall which takes all the damp out of the ground. Poor thing. Now, many believers like this, you know, they come along to the meeting and they sit there. If you look high enough, you will see that they've got some flowers on top. But below, the leaves are an unsightly mess. They're living. I'm not talking about the hollyhocks now. I'm talking about us. They're living on the rest. They're living on the rest. They are not. They've not got their own individual intake. Are you getting the nourishment you need? There's no need for spiritual drought, you know. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Floods upon the dry ground. Any man thirst, then come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, from within him shall flow out rivers of living water. We've all been made to drink of the Spirit. Are you drinking? Well, here you are, spiritual diseases. Every man knows the plague of his own heart. If he turns to this thy dwelling place, confessing his plague, his sin, stretching out his hands toward God, then hear and forgive and deliver and restore, that they may fear thee all the days of thy love with a loving reverence, and may live in the land which the Lord gave to our fathers. May it be like that with us. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, only thou knowest where these spiritual diseases are prevalent, in which lives they are found. O Father, we pray that thou wilt not allow this morning's time just to be an interesting time or an unusual message, but we pray that thou wilt take, Lord, these things into our hearts and make us aware if any of us have got this kind of disease in us. What we want, Lord, is to be rooted and grounded in thee. We want to grow up and into thee as head. We want, Lord, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Oh, Father, then, take this time and use it as thou wilt. We ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.